إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن انتهج نهجه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praises are due to Almighty Allah, the Lord of the worlds. We praise Him, we thank Him, we seek for His help and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of our souls and the evil consequences of our wrongdoings. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is His servant and messenger. May His peace and blessings be upon him, his household, apostles and the believers who take the right path till the day of resurrection. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy grant us all the privilege of being among them. Bi-ibnillahi ta'ala, we shall proceed from where we stopped last week, still within the context of Riyadh al-Salihin, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, particularly chapter 51, Babu al-Raja, the chapter that discusses hope, being hopeful of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, we shall be commencing with the hadith of Abu Najih, Amru ibn Abasa al-Sulami radiyallahu anhu. وعن أبي نجيح عمرو بن عبسة السلمي رضي الله عنه قال: كنت أنا في الجاهلية أظن أن الناس على ضلالة، أظن أن الناس على ضلالة. But during the pre-Islamic era of ignorance, I used to think that people are on astray, that what people are doing was dalala. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَيْسُوا عَلَى شَيْءٍ. I used to think that people at then were on nothing. وَهُمْ يَعْبُدُونَ الْأَوْثَانَ. Why I used to think that they have gone astray and that they were on nothing was the fact that they were worshipping idols. They worship idols. فسمعت برجل بمكة يخبر أخبارا. That was what used to be my thought before I heard about a man in Mecca who is spreading some news. يخبر أخبارا. There were very few among them, even during the era of Jahiliyyah, that used to abstain from those activities of Jahiliyyah. Although there wasn't, they were not guided by anything. They were just granted the privilege by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you see, one, two, three of them doesn't see reason why he should take intoxicants. Not being guided by anything, but he just think, how could someone commonsensically put himself in such a situation? So he abstained. There wasn't Islam. So he used to think that what they were doing then was nothing and it was an act of astray. So he now heard about a man in Mecca, يُخْبِرُ أَخْبَارًا, who is giving people some news, spreading some news. فَقَعَدْتُ عَلَى رَاحِلَتِي. But when he heard about that person, I mounted my camel. فقدمت عليه. Then I came forward to him. But then he traveled from another part of the world to Mecca because of the news he had about the prophet in Mecca. فإذا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مستخفيا جراء عليه قومه. But when he entered Mecca, he discovered that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the hidden. Jura'ahu alayhi qawmuhu, being persecuted by his people. Then, that is what scholars refer to as al-marhala al-makkiyya, the state of Makkah, the marhala of Makkah. And that is why sometimes the marhala of Makkah may apply even to our contemporary time in some places. In some places, marhala of Makkah may apply to those places that will demand that the likeness of the method adopted by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam be adopted by the inhabitants of those places, by the believers, by the true caliph of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he discovered that Rasulullah, the messenger he was hearing about, was in the hidden. Why? Jura'u alayhi qawmuhu, as he was being persecuted by his own people. فَتَلَطَّفْتُ حَتَّى دَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهِ بِمَكَّةِ. When I discovered that, the person I want to see, if the person you've come to see himself is in the hidden, then you have an additional attack on you, because you know there were a lot of plots against Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم so that the da'wah will not spread. They don't want the da'wah to be established in Makkah in the first place. Talk less of it getting spread outside Makkah. This is someone now from outside Makkah, and he wants to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all eyes were on who? On Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all those people, if anyone notices any familiarity with Rasulullah, between Rasulullah and one other person, then that person is in trouble in that society. Subhanallah. Look at the difficulties, subhanallah, they went through. Just because they want to. Now, today, nobody is persecuting us, and we are not worshiping Allah. We are just too lazy to practice the religion. Nobody is persecuting us. But then, they were being persecuted, they were being trailed, they were being trailed, to the extent that in the darkness of the night, in some instances, they were being followed to know this person, where is he going? Because they've discovered as if there is an acquaintance between him and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they want to know whether he has accepted Islam or not. That is why scholars say there were no hypocrites in Makkah. Rather, the opposite was the case. There were believers who were hiding their faith. Not non-believers who are now hiding their disbelief. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the hidden, and this person wanted to see him. He said, "فَتَلَطَّفْتُ حَتَّى دَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهِ بِمَكَّةِ. I also stealthily, by way of sneaking and walking my back, I entered upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will see that this person was also mindful of the situation. He found Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so as not to cause him more trouble. He is already in trouble. He said, "Jura'u alayhi qawmuhu." He was being persecuted by his people. So as not to cause additional trouble for Rasulullah, he sneaked. After he must have succeeded in diverting eyes of people who may be thinking of who is this stranger. Who does he want to see? Where is he going? He said, "I sneaked stealthily and entered upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَإِذَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَقُلْتُ لَهُ مَا أَنْتَ." Then I said to him, the Messenger of Allah, Who are you? قال أنا نبي. The Messenger of Allah وسلم responded, I am a prophet. قلت وما نبي. I said, and what is a prophet? What does that mean? قال أرسلني الله. He said, Allah sent me. قلت وبأي شيء أرسلك. I said to him, and what is it? With what has Allah sent you? With what has Allah sent you? قال, he said, أرسلني بصلة الأرحام. أرسلني بصلة الأرحام. Allah sent me with the strengthening of the ties of kinship. Strengthening of the ties of kinship. وكثر الأوثان, and to destroy the idols. وأن يحد الله لا يشرك به شيء. وأن يوحد الله لا يشرك به شيء. And that Allah alone be worshipped. And that no associate be ascribed to him. قلت فمن معك على هذا. Then I asked further. I said, who is with you on this? That is, do you have any followership? Do you have any followership? He said, قال حر وعبد. He said, a free man and a slave. It was said that ومعه يومئذ أبو بكر وبلال. It was said that the only two believers of that day were Abu Bakr and who? And Bilal. And that was the reason why Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, حر, a free man, and a slave. Because Bilal was still a slave as at then. And that was the reason why he suffered the most. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had some sort of protection. The same thing applied to Abu Bakr رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه. They had some sort of protection because of the tradition of the Arabs that, okay, no matter how devilish this son of ours may be, he still remains our son. So that was what they were enjoying. That was the immunity. That was the immunity they were enjoying. But a slave has nobody to protect him. So Abdun, Hurun, wa Abd. A free man and a slave. قلت إني متابعك. I said to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم that I indeed will follow you on this. قال Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said إنك لن تستطيع ذلك يومك هذا. إنك لن تستطيع ذلك يومك هذا. That indeed you will not be able to do that now. You will not be able to do that now. ألا ترى حالي وحال الناس. Don't you see my condition and that of the people? That is, don't you see the reaction of the people to this da'wah? And don't you see the difficult situation we are in? It will be difficult for you to follow me now. ولكن ارجع إلى أهلك. فإذا سمعت بي قد ظهرت فأتني. But go back to your people until when you hear that I have prevailed, then come to me. Subhanallah. Look at the hope. Look at the hope. And that is one of the qualities, if you like, characteristics of a leader. He is full of hope. Even when there are no signs at all, he still believes that I am going to succeed. So he plants hope and confidence in the followers. This is someone who has just proclaimed that my followership is just two people. hurrun wa ab, a free man and a slave. And at the same hour, this same person is saying, go back to your people until you hear that I have prevailed. That is to say, I am going to prevail. This da'wah, this mission cannot be stopped. Nobody can stop it. Even if I don't have as of now more than 2 followers. Go. The news of our prevalence will get to you. Subhanallah. He was sure that the da'wah cannot be stopped by anybody. He said, go back. If you hear the news that I have prevailed, fa'tini, then come to me. Then I will be able to protect you. Subhanallah. There was a time when they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was sitting, resting his back on the Kaaba. They said to Rasulullah, those very few who were Muslims then, when the persecution got to a particular stage, and it seems as if they could not sustain it anymore, they came to Rasulullah, ala tastansiru lana? This hardship is becoming unbearable. Rasulullah, won't you seek for the assistance of Allah for us? Although they were newcomers, they were new rivers, but they have this very strong iman that Allah is capable of coming to their aid. Rasulullah, won't you seek for the assistance of Allah for us? What was the response of Rasulullah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, isbiru, be patient, for wallahi, during the time of people who existed before you, the non-believers used to bring forth a person who believed in Allah, and they will place a saw at the center of his head. And they will use the saw. It is a living being, not a dead body, a human being. Saw. The saw, you know, that is being used to cut wood is what will be placed at the center of the head of that believer, and it will be used to cut him until the two parts fall apart. That is what they call cut move to sabr, dying gradually. You know, it differs from when someone was slaughtered within some few minutes, he died. Or someone was shot with a gun, he dies immediately. But this person will die, will be dying gradually. He's watching the process through which he dies gradually. It will be placed at the center. And the Rasulullah said, La yarji an dinihi. That will not, has never made any of those believers to what? To turn away from their religion. As a way of strengthening these people who have come to seek for the assistance of Allah. Rasulullah the family of Ammar ibn Yasir and his children, his wife Sumayya, look at how Sumayya was killed. The only thing Rasulullah could do was to tell them, be patient, your destination is the paradise. There is no that strength to confront these people. And there was a lot of wisdom in the restraint. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restrained them. No, don't fight. Because if you fight, how many are you? These people want to instigate you. And that is why we have to be diplomatic, even when it comes to da'wah. You have to study yourself very well. There are situations where the best option will be for you to withdraw. The best option will be for you to deliberately refuse to argue.
The first option will be for you to deliberately refuse to respond. It is not that you've not heard them. It is not that you don't have an answer for what they have said, but deliberately, because of some reasons, you calculate yourself. You try to strike balance between the pros and cons. You look at the consequences. There were just very few of them. These people were pushing them to the wall. They were hoping that one day these people will say, we want to fight you. How many? You can imagine when Abu Najih came, there were only three of them. Three men in the whole of Makkah. Imagine that three men came out to fight the whole of Makkah. What would have happened? What would have happened? In this, there is a lesson for us. As to us, call us to the deen. It is not at every point in time that you must declare the truth. Not because you don't know that this is the truth. It is not. There are some times that wisdom will demand a blank face. Then, in such a situation, don't hesitate to leave the space blank. Leave it blank. At that point in time, that is the best option. Scholars said, the fact that Rasulullah told this person that go back to your people, when the news of our prevalence gets to you, then come over. It is another quality of a leader. Thinking about the protection, the safety of your followers. You want them to be safe, even if you will be hurt. Then come over to me. He said, قال فذهبت إلى أهلي. I went back to my people. وقدم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مدينة. After that, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم migrated to مدينة. وكنت في أهلي. I was still with my people. فجعلت أتخبر الأخبار. فجعلت أتخبر الأخبار. And what I used to do is to search for the news, trying to know what is happening. The movement of Rasulullah, I want to know. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَسْأَلُ النَّاسَ حِينَ قَدِمَ الْمَدِينَةِ حَتَّى قَدِمَ نَفَرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ. That I used to ask people when Rasulullah migrated to Medina, I used to ask people about him. What about that man that was calling people to a new religion that have migrated to Medina? He wants to hear about him. That until قَدِمَ نَفَرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ, that some people from my clan came down from Medina. They traveled and they came from Medina. فَقُلْتُ, then I said, مَا فَعَلَ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي قَدِمَ الْمَدِينَةِ, that I want to know about this person that came to Medina, because it was the talk of the town. So everybody knows that Rasulullah has migrated to Medina. The evil plots of the hypocrites of Medina and the altercations between the believers and the non-believers, issues. So travelers were carrying the news along. So he asked them about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then it was said to him, فقال الناس إليه صراع, that you cannot even quantify the number of people that are rushing towards him. Sira, that people are hastily accepting the deen. وَقَدْ أَرَادَ قَوْمُهُ قَتْلَهُ, and that his own people, that is the Quraysh, they have made efforts to kill him. فَلَمْ يَسْتَطِيعُوا, but they were unable to execute their plan. فَقَدِمْتُ الْمَدِينَةِ, when I heard that the Rasulullah ﷺ has migrated to Medina and that in fact people are rushing and are hastily accepting the religion, then I also approached Medina. I came to Medina, فَدَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهِ, Then I entered upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And I said, O Messenger of Allah, أَتَعْرِفُنِي. Do you know me? Do you recognize me? قَالَ نَعَمْ. Rasulullah said, yes, I do. أَنْتَ الَّذِي لَقِيتَنِي بِمَكَّةَ. You are the one who met me in Makkah. قَالَ فَقُلْتُ. Then I said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَخْبِرْنِي أَمَّا عَلَّمَكَ اللَّهُ وَأَجْهَلُهُ. O Messenger of Allah, inform me about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed you, which I don't know. أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. Inform me about الصَّلَاةِ, prayer. قَالَ صَلِّي صَلَاةَ الصُّبْحِ. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, observe salat al-subuh, ثم اقصر عن الصلاة. Then abstain from observing any other salat. حتى ترتفع الشمس قيد رمح. Until the sun has risen up to the height of the lance. That's a medium size of an arrow. The median size of a lance. You know, there are long ones, there are short ones. Scholars say what we will use as a measure here is the medium size of a lance. So until after Salatul Subuh, if you observe Salatul Subuh, it becomes prohibited for you to observe any other Salat until sun must have risen to that height. Qayda Rub. How do you know that sun has risen to that height? Scholars said it is by you measuring it with your sight. If you want to do that, it means you have to be close. You have to be close to where the sun emanates from, so that you're able to know that it has risen. Then you raise your head. Contemporary scholars are of the opinion that immediately the sun comes out, 15 minutes after then. Some of them said 20 minutes, some of them said 10 minutes. Al-Muhim, about 15 minutes or thereabout after the emergence of the sun, then the time of duha commences from that. The time of duha commences from that. The Rasulullah said, after salat al-subuh, akthir al-salat. Abstain from salat, hatta tartafi al-shamsu qayla ruhin. Until the sun has risen to the height of a lance. فإنها تطلع حين تطلع بين قرني شيطان. And the reason why you should abstain from observing any salat after salat al-subuh till the sun must have risen to the height of a lance is because we want you to avoid that particular time when the sun is what? Imagining that particular time, that particular period of the emergence of the sun is the time when that it emerges on the horns of the shaitan, and that is when the disbelievers prostrate to it. He said, وَحِينَ إِذٍ يَزْجُدُ لَهَا الْقُفَّارِ. وَحِينَ إِذٍ يَزْجُدُ لَهَا الْكُفَّارِ. Those who worship the sun. That is the time they what? They prostrate to the sun. That is the time they prostrate to the sun. That is why it is prohibited that you observe salat between that period of time. ثُمَّ صَلِّ. After that is after it must have risen to the height of the lance, ثُمَّ صَلِّ. Then the time of prohibition, the first time of prohibition have what? Have gone. After that, you can now, the time is open for you to observe Salat, Nawafil, as much as you can. From then, he said, فَإِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ مَشْهُودَ مَحْضُورَ ثُمَّ صَلِّ. Then, observe Salat. Because indeed, Salat is then witnessed. وَمَحْضُورَ. And is then attended by who? By the angels. Attended by the angels. حتى يستقل الظل بالرمح حتى يستقل الظل الظل بالرمح. After the sun must have risen, we take about 15 minutes after the emergence of the sun. About 15 minutes after the emergence of the sun, you can perform nawafil. You can observe nawafil until when? حتى يستقل الظل بالرمح. Until shadow becomes equal to its object. Until shadow becomes equal to its object. How? Scholar said, in another word, until the shadow of every object diminishes. That is, you can hardly see shadow for any object. If you cannot see shadow for any object, or the shadow becomes so small that it is difficult to notice, then you stop Salat. And that is when the sun, you know, it rises and keeps moving until it what? It falls. So when it reaches the center, that is when nothing will have what? Shadow. Nothing will have shadow at all. Or the shadow will be hardly noticed. That is what it means by until the shadow becomes equal to its object. It becomes equal, not in size. That is, it has become so small that it is equal, it is at the same position with what? With the object, with the lens. But it is very a lens now on the ground, an arrow on the ground. You can not trace shadow for it. Then the second waqtun nahy, you know, the first one is after subuh till the sun rises to the height of a lens. The second one, after that, it is open for you to observe nawafil. The time of prohibition, the first time of prohibition has been exhausted, then the time is open for you to observe nawafil until shadows become equal to each object. ثُمَّ اقْصُرْ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. Then you abstain from what? From Salat. Why? فَإِنَّهُ حِينَ إِذٍ تُزْجَرُ جَهَنَّمُ. For indeed, at that particular point in time is when the Jahannam is being heated up. عِيَادًا بِاللَّهِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the Jahannam. May we never perceive its smell. Talk less of seeing it, talk less of entering it. Every day at that time is when the Jahannam is being what? Is being heated up. فَإِذَا أَقْبَلَ الْفَيْءُ. فَإِذَا أَقْبَلَ الْفَيْءُ. When shadow resurfaces. Now shadow will resurface. That is zawal. That is what they call, what they refer to as zawal. When shadow resurfaces, if you study it, you will see that shadow will resurface gradually towards the west. Gradually towards the west. And that is the beginning of the time for Salatu al-Zuhur. So even if you don't have a wristwatch, you can know the time of Salat with this time. That is the commencement of Salat al-Zuhur. That is in the Zawal. Then shadow resurfaces. فَإِذَا أَقْبَلَ الْفَيْءُ فَصَلِّ فَصَلِّ. That immediately after the emergence of shadow, you can pray. That is the beginning of the time of Salat al-Zuhur. فَإِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ مَشْهُودَةٌ مَحْضُورَةٌ. Because indeed, Salat is being witnessed and is being attended by who? By angels. حَتَّى تُصَلِّ الْعَصْرَ ثُمَّ قُصُرُ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. From then, the time is open for you to observe as much as possible in nawafil until you observe Salat al-Asr. After Zawal, the time is open up to Salat al-Asr. ثُمَّ قُصُرُ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. After the observance of Salat al-Asr, you abstain from what? From Salat. That is the third waqtu nahy, the third period of prohibition of Salat after Asr. Hatta taghrub ash-shams. Until when? Until when the sun sets. فَإِنَّهَا تَغْرُبُ بَيْنَ قَرْنَيْ شَيْطَانِ. فَإِنَّهَا تَغْرُبُ بَيْنَ قَرْنَيْ شَيْطَانِ. Those who worship the sun, they prostrate to it twice a day, when it emerges and when it sets. So when it sets between the hands of the Satan. وَحِينَئِذٍ يَزْدُدُ لَهَا الْكُفَّارِ. And that is when the kuffar prostrate to it. So that is when the kuffar prostrate to it. Now, we have three different awqat al-nahy. It commences from min ba'd al-fajr ila tulu'i ash-shamsi wa min tulu'iha hatta tartafi'a qayla rubh. After salat al-subh till the sun emerges, from the time the sun emerges till when it rises to the height of a lamp, which we said after its emergence, 15 minutes or thereabouts, it must have risen within that period. The second is عند وقوفها قبل الظهر حتى تزول. When it stands still before Zuhur, until it what? Until it shifts towards the west. That is a short period. And the third one is after Asr until the sun sets. So these are what the scholars refer to as awqat al-nahy. Awqat al-nahy in the sense that they are periods of prohibition for salat. You cannot perform ablution and observe salat within those periods. Within those periods, you cannot. Except if you have forgotten an obligatory salat. And the time you remember falls within that period, then that is an exemption. Because of another independent hadith, which says that whosoever among you forgets, slips over a salat or forgets it, and remembers that the time he or she remembers is the time for that salat. So that is an exemption because of evidences from the authentic sunnah. But someone cannot observe a voluntary sunnah within this period. Someone cannot observe a voluntary sunnah within this period. The awqat al-nahy. فَقَالَ فَقُلْتُ. He said, أَيْنَا وَسَيْدْ يَا نَبِيَّ اللَّهِ أَوْ مِسْنْجَ أَفَ اللَّهِ فَالْوُضُوء حَدِّثْنِي عَنْهُ. What about ablution? Tell me about it. فَقَالَ. Then he said, ما منكم رجل يقرب وضوءه. There is no one among you who will bring forth his water for ablution. Wudu is the water you use for ablution. Wudu, بالضمه, wudu is the ablution itself. Why wudu is what you use to perform the ablution. And that is why he said, no one among you yuqarribu wudu'ahu. You know, if this word were to mean the ablution itself, then the sentence wouldn't have given any meaning. There is no way you would have brought close your ablution. You can only bring close the water you use for ablution. No, none of you will bring close his water for ablution, wudu'ahu, فيتمضمض ويستنشق فينتظر, and he will wash his mouth, breathe in water and breathe it out, إلا خرت خطايا وجهه وفيه وخياشينه, except that all the sinful acts he may have committed by the use of his face, his mouth, his nostrils, except that they fell off by the act of what? Al-madmada, wal-istinshaq, wal-istinfaq. Whenever you perform ablution, you are what? You are washing away your sins. They will go out with the water. ثُمَّ إِذَا غَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ كَمَا أَمَرَهُ اللَّهُ. Then, if he washes his face, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him, إِلَّا خَرَّتْ خَطَايَا وَجْهِهِ مِنْ أَطْرَافِ لِحْيَتِهِ مَعَ الْمَاءِ. Except that the sins he committed by the use of his face fall off with the falling off of the water from the edges of his what? Of his death. ثُمَّ يَكْسِرُ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى الْمِرْفَقَيْنِ. Then he washes his hand to his elbow. إِلَّا خَرَّتْ خَطَايَا يَدَيْهِ مِنْ أَنَامِلِهِ مَعَ الْمَاءِ. Except that the sinful act committed with his hand falls off with a drop of what? Water from his what? From his fingers. ثُمَّ يَمْسَهُ رَأْسَهُ. Then he what? He passes his hand through his head. إِلَّا خَرَّتْ خَطَايَا رَأْسِهِ مِنْ أَطْرَافِ شَعْرِهِ مَعَ الْمَاءِ. Except that the sinful act of his head fall off with a drop of water from his head. ثُمَّ يَغْسِلُ قَدَمَيْهِ. Then he washes his left إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. He washes his feet إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ to his ankles. إِلَّا خَرَّتْ خَطَايَا رِجْلَيْهِ مِنْ أَنَامِلِهِ مَعَ الْمَاءِ. Except that the sinful act committed with his feet fall off with the water through his fingernails. فَإِنْ هُوَ قَامَ فَصَلَّى. You can see through the ablution everything has been forgiven. Virtually. The sins committed with the face completely, the mouth, the nostrils, the eyes, the mouth, the air inclusive, have been washed off. In most cases, most of the hadith that talks about wudu doesn't independently make mention of the air, because it goes along with the head. It goes along with the air. And that is why Rasulullah don't take independent water for the purpose of rubbing the air. It is the water he uses to rub his head that he uses to rub the air. Virtually all the sinful acts have been washed away with the falling off of the water for ablution. Now, Rasulullah now said, فَإِنْ هُوَ قَامَ فَصَلَّى. After the ablution, if that person who performed this ablution now stands up and observes salat, فَحَمِدَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى, and he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most exalted. وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ And he glorifies him. وَمَجَّدَهُ بِالَّذِي هُوَ أَهْلٌ And he proclaims his greatness as he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deserves. وَفَرَّغَ قَلْبَهُ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى And he devoted his heart wholly to Allah. That these are criteria of the salat, right? After performing the ablution, he stands up to observe salat. He praised Allah. He glorified Allah. He proclaimed the greatness of Allah. مَجَّدَهُ بِالَّذِي هُوَ أَهْلٌ لَهُ With what Allah deserves. وَفَرَّغَ قَلْبَهُ While he was observing the salat, his heart was completely devoted to Allah. سبحانه وتعالى إلا انصرف You will not perform an ablution and observe a salat with the following criteria except that انصرف من خطيئته كهيئته يوم ولدته أمه except that he turns away from that salat after completing the salat the person will come out of the salat And he will have all his sinful acts cleansed of him, just like the day his mother gave birth to him. So Subhanallah. Look at the rahmah of Allah. Subhanallah. If you perform ablution, but Iblis will not allow you. عليه لعنة الله. Just last week, something happened to me. I was treating a file, and I was cracking my brain thinking of a way out for a particular issue. I just needed to remember something which I know that. I've once thought about what didn't write it down. And that is the solution. But I couldn't recall it. When a colleague came from the other office and said, it's time for Salat. And I said, okay, let's go for Salat. We went now. I was the imam. In the first rakah, I was reminded. That is Satan. He doesn't want you to go away with the complete reward. He doesn't want you to be forgiven. Wallahi, in the first rakah, I was reminded. So if care is not taken, the thoughts concerning that particular issue will now keep flowing in the salat. And that is why you have to strike and divert your mind back to the salat. Then the thought will start flowing. Okay, since I've remembered this, it is for me to look for those authority, back it up, do this, reply this, do that. Before you know it, you will be observing the salat. You'll be doing that physical exercise. You'll be doing that physical exercise of coming, because yes, it's When you prostrate, you bow, you rise, you prostrate, you sit down, you rise, you bow, you prostrate, and your mind is completely out of what you are doing. Then, what is the essence? It's of no essence. Your mind is not there. Look at Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you perform that ablution after your sinful act must have been washed away with the water for ablution, SubhanAllah, that ablution that you see, we have to take it very seriously. You don't underlook ablution itself alone. It's sufficient for Allah to have mercy on someone. It's sufficient for Allah to be pleased with someone. So that is why Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be with us, he assists us in household work, he plays with us, He sits with us, discuss with us, but when it is time for salat, it is as though he has never seen us before. It is as though he doesn't even know us. Because salat is a serious business. You have to be very sure that you perfect your ablution. Because look at the reward. Your simple act has been washed off with the last drop of water of ablution. So if you do that, Rasulullah said, if you now observe this salat with the following criteria, you praise Allah, you glorify Allah, you proclaim the greatness of Allah as you deserve, and you devoted wholly your heart. فرغ قلبه لله تعالى. Accept that you come out of that salat as if you were just giving birth to clean, no sin. This seemed to be a too big reward, right? For this very small act, performance of ablution, observance of salat. Then the next thing is that someone is as clean as the day his mother delivered him. The next result, performance of ablution and observance of salat, at most, let's say 15, 20 minutes. If you are the type that comes to the masjid and wait for the imam, you perform the ablution, observe raka'atain, wait for the imam. At most 20 minutes. And the next thing is that you have cleansed off all your sins. Nothing is left in your record as a sinful act. Even the Sahaba, when they heard this, look at their response. فَحَدَّثَ أَمْرُ بْنُ عَبَسَ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَبَا أُمَامَةَ صَاحِبِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. عمر بن عبسة mentioned this hadith. He mentioned it to another apostle of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم by name أبو أمامة. فقال له أبو أمامة, Abu Umama said to him, now said to him, Ya Amr ibn Abasa, انظر ما تقول في مقام واحد يعطى هذا الرجل. Abu Umama said, Ya Amr ibn Abasa, oh you Amr ibn Abasa, watch what you are saying very well. He is sounding a warning. Watch what you are saying very well. في مقام واحد يعطى هذا الرجل. In one stand, a person will be given all this, just performing ablution and observing salat, and someone will be given all this. فقال أمر, then أمر now said. It is as if Abu Umama sees this to be too weak. Then Amr ibn Abasa said to him, Ya Aba Umama, O the father of Umama, فَقَدِ كَبِرَتْ سِنِّي. You have to see that I have become of old age now. وَرَقَّ أَظْمِي, my bones have dried up because of my age. وَاقْتَرَبَ أَجَلِي, my time of departure has come closer. He said, وَمَا بِي حَاجَةٌ أَنْ أَكْذِبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, that there is no need for me to be lying against Allah, وَلَا عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, or against Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. That is, how will someone have imagined that I want to lie? Can't you see that I have become of age? At this age I will be lying? He said, لَوْ لَمْ أَسْمَعْهُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَّا مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنِ أَوْ ثَلَاثًا حَتَّى أَدَّ سَبْعَ مَرَّاتٍ مَا حَدَّثْتُ أَبَدًا بِهِ. That if not that I've heard it from the Messenger of Allah once or twice or thrice or four times, for 5 times until he counted up to 7 times. So that wallahi, I wouldn't have conveyed it to you. ولكني سمعته أكثر من ذلك. But wallahi, I had it over and over, more than 7 times from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. رواه مسلم. الإمام مسلم. The hadith was reported by Imam Muslim. That is, to instill confidence in Abu Umama, he said all this. That this hadith was not even said once. I heard it more than 7 times from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the rahmah of Allah. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cover us with his rahmah. If we do the right thing, sometimes if you read the likeness of this hadith, you recall the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. All my ummah will enter the paradise except those of them who refuse to. The Sahaba said, Rasulullah, will anyone refuse? Is there anyone who will be asked to come into the paradise and will decline? Rasulullah said, those who will refuse, من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى. Whosoever refuses to follow me, then the person have chosen for himself not to what? Not to enter the paradise. Learn how to perform this ablution as taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Learn how to observe salat as taught by Rasulullah. In most cases, the generality of Muslims, what we do in salat is emulation of the audience. We don't have knowledge with particularity to what we do, because we don't in most cases seek knowledge of what has to do with our religion, although we are just passers by here. We are just passers by, but we have taken here to be our destination. So we've given priority to those things that will make life feasible for us here, and neglected the real thing that we will need in the real destination. We are travelers, we are just passers by. But you will see that more than 90% of our effort, up and down, is how this livelihood will be what? Will be treatable. Some people, in fact, some people don't. Some people think, look, the issue of akhirah is secondary. When we get there, we sort it out. Wallahi, there are many people that are like that. When you say, no, this is haram, say haram. And when someone was once prison, was happy for a brother who was employed in a brewery. Say, no, he is in money, he's getting money. I said, subhanallah, brewery? The person looked at me with an eye. He said, what do you mean by that? This guy is making his school money, you are here shouting brewery. You can see the type of make money. Now, make money, make money, make as much as possible money you can. After that, what next? You will die, whether you like it or not. And you will account for that money, the source of the money, how you spent it, how you made use of it. It is better for us to endure this very short stage of our journey. Wallahi, is is the shortest of all. There are people that have been in the grave for thousands of years now. Are there not? There are some that have been in the grave for hundreds of years now. They are still on the journey. They've passed through this one we are in now. They are still on the journey. Thousands of years. They've not gotten there. And it is either they are enjoying or they are suffering. And what will determine that, this is the shortest aspect of the journey, and it is the most crucial aspect of it. Because what determines the next stage of the journey, how it's going to be, whether it's going to be an easy, free-tax journey, or a difficult and heavily burdened journey, this stage of the journey will determine that. And that is why whatever we do in the name of religion, we really need to perfect it. We really need to seek knowledge. يعلمون ظاهرا من الحياة الدنيا وهم عن الآخرة وعن الآخرة هم غافلون. Allah said about some people in the Quran that when it comes to the worldly aspects of everything, they are good. Doctors, engineers, architects, lawyers, name it. They are good. Some of them, when they join Salat, after the Imam have observed some rak'ahs before they came into the Salat, they don't even know how to make it up. A Muslim. And if you say, who is this? This is a senior advocate of Nigeria. Who is this? This is a professor of medicine, professor of law. You don't know how to observe Salat? You cannot recite a good Surah Al-Fatiha? You cannot perform a good ablution? Where are we heading to? We really need to strive hard so that we will retain that guarantee that the next stage of our journey will be the easiest aspect of loss of all, because it is going to be the most lengthy. You're going to be in the grave. Your children will grow up, marry, give back to children. You have great-grandchildren. Your great-grandchildren will start having grandfathers, so that your own history will now be erased completely. But how many grandfathers do you want them to be counting? As we are here now, how many grandfathers do we have? How many of them are we talking about? How many of them are we remembering? That is this life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cover us with his mercy. Because of time, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala, we shall draw the curtain here. If Allah gives us the privilege of meeting next week, we shall be looking at the last hadith in this chapter, the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa ardahu, wallahu ta'ala alam. Any question? Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. No. Put it off, yes, yes. That is Ahkam, yes. Nullify that ablution. When you want to renew it, that you will have to pull off the socks. What will nullify it? It doesn't. Even if you urinate, it doesn't. All those things that vitiate the ablution does not nullify, except if you pull it off. But once he did not put it off, if those items that we know that vitiate the ablution, if it happens to you, he does not what? It does not stop you from what? From rubbing the jawrab, the bottom of the surface of the jawrab. Now, wallahu a'lam. Alayhi salam. Speaking, what is the position of the deen? That can someone be discussing while performing ablution? Is it lawful for someone to be discussing while performing ablution? The format, you see, in the usage of Arabic language, summa, it doesn't mean a tartib. It doesn't convey sequence. It doesn't convey sequence. When I used to be a teacher, if I want to ascertain that my student knows how to perform the ablution, I turn it upside down. I will say ablution, we've discussed about ablution elaborately. We all know that you first of all wash your hands 3 times, and immediately after washing your hands, you wash your legs. They said, no, what legs? They said, no, you wash your mouth and breathe in water. Immediately after that, what you do is wash your legs. They said, no. Just for you to, in a nutshell, it does not convey sequence. It does not. That is a method in the Arabic language. There are other hadith that in which the Sahaba conveyed to us how Rasulullah ﷺ does the ablution in sequence. That of Uthman, radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda, who at the end of the hadith said, Rasulullah ﷺ said, whosoever performs ablution like this, he performs ablution. That is why scholars said it is. There's nothing wrong in you doing a religious act for people to what? To see. With the intention that I want people to see. So that they will what? They will emulate and learn. They will emulate and learn. After that, he said, Rasulullah said, whosoever perform the likeness of this ablution and observe 2 rak'ahs of prayers without discussing internally with himself. That is, no interference of the heart. No interference of the heart in that surah God, except that Allah, in that hadith, is it that Allah forgives him all his sinful acts? I can't remember vividly. In a nutshell, that is not a sequence. Secondly, there is nothing wrong in discussing when performing what? When performing ablution, although there are narrations from our righteous predecessors that when from the stage of performance of ablution, you see the seriousness of salat in them. From that stage, you see the seriousness of what? Of salat in them. It is as though salat has commenced. It is as though salat, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eases someone's task and he is able to maintain to that level, preparing his mind even before stepping into the masjid while performing ablution. You see, and there are a lot of things that could ease that. When you can imagine now, you receiving a call now, just receive a call now that Buhari, who is presently in UK on a vacation, called his special assistant on media, mentioned your name, that the person should search for your number and call you, that immediately he returns from vacation, he wants to see you. How excited are you going to be? Me? But what's happening? Who informed him about me? And he's a human being, right? He's a human, but being a leader, being someone of a high status or position, you'll be excited and you'll be preparing towards, you'll be counting the days and waiting for that appointment to come. And you'll be thinking of which of your clothes will be the most suitable for such a kind of a gathering. So if you want to come and interface with Allah, you know, in that hadith, Allah SWT said, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي قِسْمَيْ, that I've divided the salat between me and my servant into what? Into two. Half of it is for me and the other half is for my servant. You are interfacing with Allah. You are conversating with Allah. When you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah responds, مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي, أفنى علي عبدي الرحمن الرحيم مجدني عبدي مالك يوم الدين. Every stage Allah responds to your recitation. So it is munajat between you and Allah. So when you have at the back of your mind that I want to go and conversate with Allah, your creator, then you now think of the most desirable preparation for it. You see that that will assist you in closing yourself with some sort of khushu, tranquility, fear, stability, and happiness, and even tasting the salah, because you have at the back of your mind, when you stand, فَإِلَّمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ, you are standing before Allah. You are standing before Allah. So when you have all this at the back of your mind, wallahi, the best of times will be when you are in salah. When if you, someone succeed in training himself on this and it becomes part of you, the best of all times will be when you perform ablution and enter into salat. Allahu Akbar. Haven't you heard of Urwa, whose leg was to be amputated? You can imagine those period of time, the local way of amputating someone's leg. There is no anesthesia, there is nothing to keep you asleep, nothing to kill the pain. You will be awake and your limb is being amputated. He said, when they told him that, the doctor said, there is no solution except that we amputate it. He said, there is no problem. Come and do that when I'm in to Salat. But he went into Salat. The leg was amputated and he never felt it. Because he was lost. Completely lost in the Salat. Completely lost in the salat. That is not the type of salat that we observe today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cover us with His mercy. Allahu a'lam. Now, in the absence, I've answered all the questions. The azkar you see some books where they have specific azkar, zikr. When you wash your hand, you say this. When you wash your mouth, you say this. When you wash your face, you say that. Those are not authentic. They are baseless in the deen. والله تعالى أعلم. In the absence of any other questions, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.